Well, once again, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
How many of you have Christmas traditions in your family? How many, does that include eating the similar things every year? Yes? My family, growing up, all of us gathered on Christmas Eve with my grandmother and her seven children and 15 grandchildren, of which I, of course, was one. And then Christmas Day was always with my brother and my parents opening gifts with one another. And then we'd go to my other grandparents Christmas Day afternoon into evening. So it was quite a thing. And I know my family's not unique in that way. Of course, another tradition that we have at church is singing all these wonderful Christmas hymns that we know so well. And you sounded great. Thank you for that. And of course, our gospel text, the passage Luke chapter 2, is always the appointed text for Christmas Eve. And it depicts the story of Jesus' birth in such a powerful way, but also with all those details, with Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, finding no place that would take them in, no room for them at the inn. And so little baby Jesus is born in a manger. This past Sunday, our children recreated that story with all the pageantry you can imagine, and they did a great job. But I think sometimes if we just remember the sweet little baby and the Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men, they come later. If we just focus on the nicey-nicey parts of the Christmas story, we miss an important truth about Christmas. On Christmas, God is revealed. And I mean that literally and also in ways that are expansive. So God, who creates the heavens and the earth, the creator of all that is and whatever would be, for all of history up until Christmas, that first Christmas, God was seemingly distant, not engaged in the day-to-day life of human beings. And so people would pray to God, not knowing if God would hear those prayers, and God sent prophets as intermediaries for the people to share God's word with them, to encourage them, and also to promise them that the time would come that God would send the Messiah into the world to bring the fullness of God's love, the fullness of God's salvation for the world, and that the kingdom of God would become a reality in that moment. And so the ancient prophets spoke these words to God's people, and they waited, and they waited. Generation after generation looked for the signs, looked for the signs that God's promise of a Messiah would come to fruition. And so it's very interesting to me, as you look at the story of Jesus' birth, how God is revealed. God's essential nature is love. And God's love is fully on display in the story of Jesus' birth. And it's important for us to see that and how powerful that promise being fulfilled was at that time, and that's why the angels are so bombastic in their joy, and the shepherds are so excited, and Mary ponders these things in her heart. But it's also vitally important to dig into some of those deeper, more specific details. So the gospel text begins with the statement that the Roman Empire was taking a census. Now, we might think of a census in our day as something relatively benign. The government is just counting people. But in Jesus' day, the Roman Empire was basically the conquering army over the entire known world. And they weren't known for being nice. They had a particular system of taxation where they would extract 60, 70, 75% of a person's income and give it to the Romans. So they were taking a census to get an accurate number of people in order to extract money so they could fund their armies and continue conquering further lands as they had the opportunity to do it. So literally, baby Jesus is born in Bethlehem because Joseph has a connection through his lineage to David, and Bethlehem is so he doesn't live in Bethlehem. Have you ever wondered, why is baby Jesus born in a manger? Well, there's no room at the inn, right? Well, if Joseph is from Bethlehem, where are his relatives? Why isn't he staying at his aunt's house? Because they don't live there anymore. So literally, a powerful Roman Empire forces people to travel while 9 months pregnant, with no room at the inn. It's also revealing how Jesus chooses to enter in this world. God could have chosen a prince or a king and be born into royalty and wealth. Joseph and Mary were not even married yet. And we know that Mary was a teenage mother. And Joseph was a carpenter, probably relatively middle class as we would see it today. Don't worry, the end is not coming on Christmas. It just feels like I'm dreaming of a wet Christmas, I think was the song this year. So Jesus is born into a family of some means, but certainly not any kind of wealth or power. And Jesus spends 30 years of his life with all of the fullness of God's power in him as a relatively unknown person. He takes up the trade of his father and becomes a carpenter. And it's only at age 30. So 30 years, our God, the incarnate Word of God, that Jesus, God in the flesh, lived among us as an ordinary person. And only when God determined the time was did Jesus begin his public ministry. God also chose to reveal this promise, the promise they've been waiting hundreds of years for the coming of the Messiah. Again, God could have sent the angels to the chief priests, the scribes, or all kinds of religious leaders or respectable, the mayor, whatever the ancient day equivalent might be of someone important, but chose shepherds. Shepherds who spent their time outdoors tending their sheep, but also were really living life on the margins. That's who God decided needed to be the first people to know what God was up to, that the Savior had been born, that the Messiah had come and was for us, for good news for all people. Shepherds are the first witnesses to the birth of Jesus. It tells us a lot about God's love for us, that God sees those on the margins and particularly has a heart for those who are struggling, those who are suffering, for those who are traveling, for refugees, for immigrants, for all those that maybe the world looks down upon. God intentionally chose to enter this world also as a humble, helpless baby. Now, I don't know if Mary's night was silent. We'll sing that in a minute. But Jesus comes into this world as an innocent child, as we all did, and lives a life filled with God's presence, filled with God's love. But he came into this world fundamentally to show us the very love of God. That love is for you. Unconditionally, God's love is for you and with you and will never stop being there for you. God's love is infinite and endless, and it's for you. So as we gather for continued Christmas celebrations, let us give thanks for the love we have with our friends, our family, our communities, because that too is a gift from God. But let us stay grounded in God's amazing love for us, for you. And for that, we give God thanks. Amen.